It's just a joy to celebrate the gift of fatherhood. God created fatherhood and intends for dads, as believers, to follow His example in fatherhood and be dads like He is a dad to us. It's a great privilege to know we can be children of God in Jesus Christ. This is my first Father's Day without a parent. Both my parents now have passed away. So my mom passed away May 19th. And I was thinking about that this morning, you know, and you guys know that she was a single parent. She solo parented me and my two older brothers, and, you know, I turned out the best, but hey. And dads, listen, much like Drew said just a little while ago, I can name several men who stepped into our lives, really that God brought into our lives at pivotal moments into my life along the way. Men who served as role models, men who served as examples, men who came alongside me when I needed it. I vividly remember when I came to faith in Christ at 9 years old and came forward to the altar and prayed with the pastor and sat down, two men came over and sat with me and prayed with me and celebrated with me when I came to faith in Christ. I vividly remember a neighbor that got to know me, and he had a grandson my age, and I remember him taking me with his grandson on their annual fishing trip to High Rock Lake and letting us shoot his 22, which I'm sure all the neighbors regretted, but hey. I vividly remember, of course, the horse trainer that I got plugged in with as a teenager and as a young man and spent my teenage years working with horses and learning from him how to be a gentleman. How to be a gentleman. Kids need you in their lives. Whether you're a dad, whether you're a stepdad, whether you're a single parent, married parent, whoever you are, the kids need you in their lives. They need you to come alongside them. You're having an impact. You're having an influence. But what you want to be sure is you're having an intentional influence, an intentional impact. And what we're going to focus on this morning, guys, is for all of us, but our dads especially, is that God has called us to impact the next generation. God has called us to impact the next generation and to do that intentionally. Every generation that comes along behind us and every generation that preceded us is part of God's call. This summer, we're in the book of Joshua. We're going to step out of our study in Joshua today and next Sunday. But the theme is the same, that God calls every generation to impact the next generation for Christ. God calls every generation to His purposes. And men, you have an intentional role in bringing along and influencing and impacting the next generation for Christ. The question is whether or not you're doing it intentionally, whether or not you recognize the impact that you're making and seeking to make the impact that God wants you to make on your family and on the generations that are around you. We are, in fact, going to look at that very familiar story in the Bible, the story of Noah, and Noah and the ark. If you have your Bible, find with me Genesis chapter 6, and just hold your place there for a moment. Because while that's the story we're going to look at, we're not going to look at it in the way you may think of the story of Noah and the ark, the flood and all that goes with it. What we're going to look at is the theme that runs through the story that's often overlooked. It's a theme of generations. It's a theme of God's call to every generation, Noah and his children and their children after him. It's a theme that acknowledges that every generation matters in the call of God, and we are called, dads, we are called to influence every generation that God's called us to be a part of and to influence. The story of Noah and the ark is not a story of an isolated ark builder. It's a story of generations, of God's redemption and salvation that would last through and impact generations. You're probably familiar with Genesis chapter 6, and it opens with a statement that the sin of humanity had spread so widely, had multiplied so much, that God decided to take action and to cleanse the earth of that sin. But before he did that, he would choose one person to be redemption for all people, for the next generation to come. And Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8 simply says that God favored Noah. God showed favor on Noah. Then we're going to pick up and read Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 And listen to what it says. This is the account. Now, literally, that's the records of the generations, but this is the account of Noah and his family, the records of the generations. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Then in verse 10, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, I want you to notice how the story of Noah begins. Notice what it doesn't say. This is the story of Noah who built the ark. This is the story of Noah and the great flood. It doesn't begin the way that we mostly have learned it and taught it. It begins instead with what, in fact, is the priority of the story. Because without the ark, the priority would not happen. The main purpose would not come to pass if it were not the ark. It starts with the priority and God's main purpose. This is the story. This is the record. This is the account of the generations of Noah. This is how, and remember, Moses as the writer is writing this story for others to read. What he's really saying is, this is how you came to know Noah's story. Through the generations that followed Noah. The story of the flood and the ark is a story of the generations of redemption that came with Noah and his family. He's referred to as faithful. The term can be translated as blameless or righteous. It's the reason that God picked him out. It's not a call to perfection. What it refers to is godly priorities. It means that he chose proactively in his life to walk with God. He chose to live a life of faith, to trust God no matter what. And he passed that faith down to the generations. And God chose him for that because God wanted the next generations, those that would follow the flood, those that would populate the earth, to have that heritage above all else, a spiritual bloodline that would connect them back to Noah and the faithful generations. The generations that follow Noah is the dominant theme throughout the story of Noah and the ark. I want to show you what I mean by looking at a few other passages of Scripture that are threaded throughout the story of Noah and the ark. I'm just going to read through these briefly. You're welcome to go back and look them up. They'll be on the screen for you to follow as well, I think. So, and if not, that's okay. Just smile and nod. But listen to this, okay? First of all, the story actually starts before Noah comes on the scene. This is the important factor that lays the anchor, the foundation for who Noah will be. Back in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 23, we read altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. You've heard that before, haven't you? Then he was no more because God took him away. Why does Enoch matter? Because he's Noah's great-grandfather. The Bible is laying the foundation for who Noah would be. He's letting us know that Noah lived the faith of the generations that came before him. Then we jump to chapter 6 and verse 18. God is speaking and God says, I will establish my covenant with you, that is Noah, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Chapter 7 verse 1. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Chapter 7 and verse 13. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. Chapter 8 and verse 15. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. Chapter 9 and verse 1. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Chapter 9 and verse 9. I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. Chapter 9 and verse 18. The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. It's a story of generations. It's a story of godliness and faithfulness. It's a story of a man who passed along to his family the promise of God and the purpose of God and kept them in the ark so when they came out the other side through the flood, their generations would follow and they would be generations of faith who followed God. Dads, God has called you to impact every generation. Your life, your walk with Christ, and I do pray for you, you're walking with Christ. Your walk with Christ is not about you entirely. But your faith in Christ impacts every generation. I hope the story of Noah imparts to you a much bigger picture, a reality that you are impacting every generation around you. And men, you may not be a dad, but you're impacting every generation around you by your walk with Christ or by your lack of a walk with Christ. It shows up in your character. It shows up in your decisions. It shows up in your priorities. It shows up in the example you give every day to every child who's looking to you for leadership, for a role model, and for answers. The question is, are you leading them toward the call of God in Christ or leading them away? What example are you setting? And this is true of all of us really in this room. Somebody's watching all of us. Somebody's watching all of us all the time, looking to us. I want to go back to this story for just a moment and look at how this is. In what ways are we impacting the generations to come along with us? And dads, in what way are you impacting your own children for Christ in a godly way? And how can you do that? Look at this with me. First of all, your faith impacts your child's participation in the things of God. Your faith impacts your child's participation in the things of God. Again, the story is not so much about perfection, it's about priorities. And a person that follows Christ demonstrates that by choosing what matters most. In the life that we have, what are our priorities? What is it that God wants us to do? And how does that impact the generations that go along with us? And what we choose as a priority to participate in is frequently what we take our kids with us to do. What we teach them is a priority as well. When the story opens, we're told that this is the story of Noah and the generations, a record of his generations. Then we're immediately introduced to his three sons. And his three grown sons and their wives populate the whole story over and over and over. We're reminded there are three sons and three wives, and then there will be their children after them. Three sons and three wives. Now, likely Noah had other children, daughters as well, but it's the sons who become the progeny for the generations that will follow. Why would we be introduced to the sons so immediately? And of course, the priority of the story, the purpose of the story is, in fact, that the generations are joining him on the ark. But right away, we find out the names of the three stories. And throughout the three sons and throughout the story, the sons' names are repeated and repeated and repeated. Why is that? Well, the writer wants us to remember two things. First of all, Noah's not an ark builder in isolation. He didn't build that ark by himself. His sons came alongside him. His sons participated with him, which means also, second, that when he got the call of God, he enlisted his sons to be with him. To put it another way, he likely said to his sons, God is going to do something great, and you get to participate with me in what God's going to do. From the very beginning, all the way through the flood, out the other side, his sons were with him. He did not exclude them, he did not neglect them, and he did not ignore them, and he did not forget them. He kept them engaged in participating in the process and the purpose of Almighty God. Men, you make decisions every day, every weekend especially, that will impact your children for the rest of their lives. When was the last time you said to your child, God's going to do something great. Be in worship with me today. God's going to work a great work. Let's not miss that Bible study tonight. I want you to come alongside me and serve. Let's go build that wheelchair ramp. The men of the church are rallying up. Let's get with them. Let's do this together. I'll go with you. And you go with me. And let's participate in the great things of God. The stories those three sons must have told. Have you ever thought about it? When Noah was long gone, those three sons sat around with their families. Those three sons became famous for being the sons of Noah. They sat around with their families. They sat around in the cities and the villages that were built. People looked to them and said, tell us the story again of how God did something great and you got to participate. You got to be there. What a tragedy it would have been if Noah had said, I can do this all by myself. Men, your children are looking to you to understand what God is doing and participate in what God is doing. Hey, we're doing a great job taking them to sporting events. I have nothing wrong. I have nothing against sporting events. We do a great job taking them fishing, getting them out on the ocean, taking them to the beach. We do all that great. But when your story's told, what are your kids going to say about how they participated with you and what God was doing? And what God was doing. I want to add, this is one of the reasons we love the Trail Life Ministry here at First Baptist Church. Men and boys coming alongside each other. Men as examples, teaching boys how to be men. And not just men, but godly men. Godly men. Ladies, I'm sure you can think of multiple examples similar to that. Your walk with Christ impacts their participation because you decide that priority. This is what matters most. This is what we're going to do. This is what my sons and daughters will remember about me. Secondly, your walk with Christ clearly impacts their salvation. Your walk with Christ impacts your children's salvation. The story of Noah and the ark is long understood to foreshadow Jesus Christ. That to be saved, a person had to get in the ark in the same way that to be saved, a person has to trust Christ and Christ alone for salvation. There was only one way to be saved that day and through that flood, and that was in the ark. And there's only one way to be saved right now, and that's confessing Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So in a very, very real historical way, Noah saved his sons. And in the great scheme of the Bible, we see this as it foreshadows Christ, that it's the story of salvation. And it's a reminder, dads, moms as well, that we are impacting our children's salvation. Do you know how to share the gospel with your children? Have you done it recently? Do you know how to recognize God at work in their lives, the spiritual questions they're asking at any age or stage in life? Does your participation in the things of God show them that you're saved? Does your change in your character indicate that you're saved and a follower of Christ? You know, we can't determine all of our children's decisions, especially when they become adults. They're going to make their decisions. Brother Drew brought up a little bit ago, he's talking about dads in the Bible, he brought up Job, and that Job was a righteous man and gave offerings for his children. Go back and read those opening verses of the book of Job, and you'll find out why he gave offerings for his children, why he prayed for his children. And the Bible says he got up every morning and prayed for his children. Why? Because they were unrighteous and they were far from God. We can't determine or dictate every decision our children will make, but we can set an example for salvation. We can lead them to Christ or do our best to do that and to lead them to Christ. And trust God. God is always faithful. God is always faithful. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your nieces and nephews, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. Pray for them. God is always faithful. He's always faithful. And dads, I want to speak to you just a moment. How can you lead your children to faith in Christ if you are not certain of your own salvation? If you're sitting in here this morning, Dad, if you're at home this morning, get honest with God. If you can't say in your heart of hearts that you know for a fact you confessed your sin and trusted Christ and Christ alone as your Savior, you know for a fact you're not a believer, not a Christian this morning. Today is the day to trust Christ and Christ alone. He is the only ark to get into. He is the only way to be saved. Then third, your faith also impacts your child's destination. I know I've just talked about salvation. That's their eternal destination. But in a very practical way, the story of Noah reminds us that the generations are impacted one after the other. God has a purpose for you and for your children. God has a plan for your children. If your priority is to live for Christ for your children and your grandchildren, if your priority is to help them follow Christ as you follow Christ, you're leading them into God's plan and God's purpose for them as well. Remember chapter 9 and verse 18, the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who scattered over the earth. History and the Bible teach us that the descendants of Shem became the people of the Jews and the Arabs, and the descendants of Ham became the people of Africa, and the descendants of Japheth moved to the north and would later become the people of the Roman Empire. God has a destination, a purpose for you and for your children. When you fully commit to the priority of following Christ and to impact them in following Christ as well, you're helping them move forward in the purpose God has for them. You're teaching them God has a bigger picture for you. God has a great plan for you. I want to see you succeed in the plan and the work of Almighty God in your life. And dads, you're leading your kids forward. You're leading your family forward into the great work of God, into the great destiny God has for them. When you look at your child, has it ever occurred to you that child of yours could be a great leader in the great work of God? That child of yours could be an evangelist. That child of yours could be a missionary. That child of yours could be a godly parent who leads other children to Christ. God has a purpose and a plan, a destination, an outcome for your children, and you are helping them get there where God wants them to be. 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary and his guide, Tenzing Norgay, crested Mount Everest. For the first time, two human beings got to the top of Mount Everest, 29,000 feet above sea level. That was 1953. By 1970, 54 people so far had reached the apex of Mount Everest. The years continued and followed after that. Eventually, more than 800 people had reached the top of Mount Everest. And in 2002, a record was set by the most people reaching the top of Mount Everest at one time. 54 people reached the top of Mount Everest at the same time in 2002. And among those who reached the top of Mount Everest was the grandson of Tenzing Norgay, the guide of Sir Edmund Hillary. And waiting in the next group to climb the mountain was the grandson of Sir Edmund Hillary, Peter Hillary. Dads, you go first. You go first, and the generations will follow. Your children are waiting on you. Your grandchildren are waiting on you. They're asking in their hearts, what does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to be faithful no matter what? What does it mean to get through the flood, the difficult times? What's going to happen when I come out the other side? Dad, you go first, and the generations will follow. Heavenly Father, God, we are in this place today. We're in our homes today on this Father's Day, remembering you, our Heavenly Father, and thankful, so thankful, God, that Jesus Christ went first for us. He died on the cross for us. He rose from the grave so we could have eternal life. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for sending your Son Christ into the world that we might be children of God. And Father, today I pray for our dads here especially. I pray for all of the believers, all the adults here, God, but our dads especially, that today they would make that fresh commitment to Christ. If they know they're a believer, they know they trusted Christ as their Savior, that today they would say, you know what, I need to start over. If that's what you put on their hearts, God, show them they need to make that fresh commitment to Christ, to lead the next generations in a walk with Christ, to lead the next generations to salvation and the purpose of God in Christ. But Father, if there's one dad here today, one mom, one aunt or uncle or anyone here, God, that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, let this be the day they get in the ark they say yes to following Christ, to being saved by the only way to be saved in relationship with Christ, and to lead others to do so also. So God be with us as we come into this time of response. I pray the Holy Spirit would be at work in our presence and in our homes and in our hearts. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.